Our scripture today is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring. And so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned to him as in righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans and give you to the land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over and against each other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, I know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Please join with me in an attitude of prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you have spoken, how you continue to speak through Scripture, reminding us that you're speaking into our lives right now. Help us to receive whatever it is you would have us hear. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. A mother told of overhearing a conversation between her two young daughters. The younger child had considerable difficulty in trying to learn how to know which shoe went on which foot. The older girl said to her younger sister, Listen, I'm going to tell you something and I want you to remember it the rest of your life. And she probably said it in an authoritative way. Anybody ever have an older sibling? Anybody ever be the older sibling? Yeah, absolutely. I want you to remember it the rest of your life. Do you promise to remember this the rest of your life? Promise for as long as you live? The younger child meekly said, Yes. The older one said, Okay, here it is. Whenever you put on your shoe, if it hurts, you've got it on the wrong foot. That's generally good advice anyways, isn't it? I mean, for any of us, wherever we may be in life. Promises that can be counted on. Promises that we can trust. That's one of them. But you know, as the people of God, There are a lot of promises that we have been given by God that we can trust as well. God takes very seriously His relationship with us. Maybe you never thought of it that way, but this particular passage struck me whenever I was reading it again and kind of stretched me in that way. It's humbling, actually, to know that God takes His relationship with me personally very seriously. And that's for each and every one of us. Why? Well, because He loves each and every one of us more than we can imagine. He cares about each and every one of us more than we can imagine. His grace is washing over each and every one of us more than we can imagine. The scripture passage today contains some rather interesting images, doesn't it? First of all, the two main players, if you will, in this particular passage of Scripture are God, of course, and Abram. Now notice, this is Abram, not Abraham. This is before he has been renamed by God. This is a time in his life in which God is churning and stirring things up in him. I think many of us can understand that, can think about moments back in our lives, or maybe even right now, where God was stirring up something, churning in us. The very beginnings of God's grace, maybe, whenever we first accepted a saving relationship with Him through Jesus. Or maybe somewhere else down the road. A time in which God was speaking to us. God was moving in our lives, and maybe we didn't necessarily understand it. This is one of those moments for Abram. See, the Scripture speaks into our reality, into where we are. These individuals like Abram, who became Abraham, are people actually similar to us. People simply seeking to be open to what God wants to do in their lives and sometimes wondering what that is. I know that most people here know exactly what God wants them to do in their life. You can respond appropriately. And you never have a struggle with that. And it's always very clear. And every morning, you and God have this conversation and He lays it out in bullet points for you. This is what I want you to do the rest of the day. But for those of us who don't have that, bear with us, okay? Including your pastor. Bear with us. There is an ongoing struggle and in fact, a tension that we can experience with God. The question that comes up is this. Can a person who questions and complains also be a model of faith? You hope so. That's a really good answer, brother. That's an excellent answer. That's actually something that I've prayed to God many times myself. I hope so. Because if we can never question and we can never complain, then I don't think that we can truly be considered fully human in our approach to our faith. That's part of it. There are going to be those days, those periods, those seasons of life in which, yeah, there's a questioning. Yes, there's a complaining. There's a wondering. And that's okay. Abram, if we read the chapters right before the verses that our brother shared with us this morning, has shown himself to be pretty faithful, pretty trusting in God. And so we have this image of someone who's faithful, and we think, well, wow, wow, that's wonderful. And sometimes, you know, too quickly we lift that up, and then all of a sudden Abram comes up with some questions in this passage. I think he had a right to wonder about what God was doing. We understand that Abram and Sarai, again, before Abraham and Sarah, were told, and they were probably in their 80s, approximately, were told that they were going to have all sorts of descendants. Now, I want somebody who's in their 80s here today to raise their hand if they would honestly not blink if God told them, I'm going to give you a baby. Go ahead and raise your hand right now. Because I want to talk to one of the greatest persons of faith that I've ever met. So we have some kind of struggling with that. God, really? And looking up in the sky, if it was anything like the Yuma sky some nights, it's absolutely beautiful. Whenever you go out there, you see all those stars. I don't know what stars are which. I don't know what constellations are which. There's an app on the application on phones now where you can hold it up. Do you know this? You can hold it up into the sky and it tells you what constellation you're looking at. I'm going to go ahead and look and see who's doing that right now, who's downloading it during the rest of the sermon. And you go ahead and hold it up into the sky and it tells you. And Judy and I will be driving back from Phoenix or someplace sometime at night, and all of a sudden I see her going like this in the car, because my conversation is obviously not scintillating enough. That's fine. It's okay. I'm happy for smartphones on a lot of different reasons. But looking up, okay? And it's just beautiful. And God says to Abram, I'm going to give you more descendants than what you see whenever you look up all those stars. Really? To have questioned would have been understandable. There's a story in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where there's a father who has a demon-possessed child. And anyone that has had a sick child knows what that does to your heart, to your mind, to your soul. And the response of this man to Jesus is something that I think is very similar to what Abram was doing. And it's very similar and honest to what most of us do in times of challenge. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, but help me, because I'm still struggling to believe. I want to believe. I want to trust, but help me to believe whenever things really turn topsy-turvy in my life. Help me, Lord. You know, the thing that really struck me whenever I was reading this passage, the verse specifically, that grabbed hold of me. Maybe it's because it's Lent. Not sure why. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. But then what happens right after that deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him? God spoke in his life. My friends, that's a word of hope. That is a word of joy, and that is a promise that even when we are experiencing deep and terrifying darkness, even when we have a dark night of the soul, even when we are struggling, God still speaks into our lives. That is something to be joyful about. What takes place later on in this passage is also something that I want to kind of unpack here, because it speaks to God taking on this promise and saying, in essence, this is on me, Abram. I'm going to make this happen. There is a sacrifice that is made. And for us reading these kinds of passages today, this is difficult to understand. But this is what they did. Not only in Middle Eastern culture, but also in this faith tradition. Animals were split in half, literally divided. And it talks about the animals to be brought forward for sacrifice here. The animals were split in half, divided. And in the Middle Eastern tradition, then, people who were making a covenant with one another, a sacred agreement with one another, would pass literally through those animals. Okay, you have that image in your mind? Kind of stark, kind of even gruesome. But what it was saying was that the people that were passing through those animals were agreeing to keep their promise to one another. And if they didn't, what happened to those animals would happen to them. That's how seriously they took that agreement, that covenant. Sheds a whole new light on it, doesn't it? It's not a part of the scripture that we just kind of, well, I don't understand that. Emphasizes it, in fact. But who was the one who passed through that sacrifice? The imagery of the flaming, smoking fire and that smoking pot, that imagery there, that's God, okay? That's an imagery for God in this particular passage. So God is the only one that's passing through that sacrifice. God is the only one. And God is saying, Abram, I'm going to keep this promise with you. And you can count on me. You can trust in me. Do we trust God? That's a question that only we can answer. God certainly takes his relationship with us seriously. I've said that before. But I think one of the questions that we have during Lent that we ponder, do we take our relationship with God seriously? Abram was sleeping while all this was going on, while God was enacting something completely new, while God was at work. How often is that the case in our lives? We're asleep, maybe actually physically or spiritually, and God's doing something. God's at work. My friends, this passage also reminds us that God never stops working in our lives. Even when we're not paying attention to Him, God never stops working in our lives. And oftentimes, when God works, He's taking it all on Himself. Because we just can't believe that there's any hope. We just can't believe that there's any healing. We just don't know how we're going to get out of this mess. And God says, I'm going to take it on myself, okay? I'm going to take it on. You can trust in me. You can believe in me because I love you more than you can imagine. And that's because of a sacrifice that God made. Not an animal split in two, but that's because of the sacrifice of God's Son on the cross for us. You see, that's the meaning of it. That's the power of it. We no longer have to make that kind of sacrifice and walk between those animals because God has sacrificed His Son, our living Savior, on the cross for us. That is the ultimate sacrifice. Once done, always done. Paid for in full. So this God, who continues to do so much for us, this God, whose grace is at work in our lives right now, and this God, sometimes we doubt and question, still loves us and takes the personal relationship He has with us through His Son Jesus very seriously. How seriously do you take your relationship with God? Join with me. Ponder that. Be open to God's love speaking to you in this time of reflection.